Blog Talk Radio.
Forget about tomorrow. Time for us to start winning is now. Now.
Hey, they don't like us, we don't like them. Nothing wrong with that, right?
At the end of the day, it's the same three things you've had to do in 35 that you got to do now in 2018.
I do not see no holes on this wall.
You got to run the ball.
Barkley off the left side. Here he goes. Look at the speed. Oh, my goodness. Breaks the tackle. Going to take it to the house. 92 yards. Toying with the defender. Saquon Barkley.
You got to stop the run.
Tyreek Hill lines up in the backfield.
The ball pops free, and it's recovered by Harrison.
A snack for Damon Harrison early.
And you got to pressure the passer.
Wentz hangs in, holds it down. Down he goes. And an early sack by Olivier Vernon.
Two kinds of players in this league, folks. There are guys that play professional football, and there are professional football players. And the professional football players are the guys we want. I don't want guys that want to win. I want guys that hate to lose.
Odell Beckham Jr. down the sideline for the touchdown.
Giants fans, you are now listening to the hottest show on the planet, The Shakedown. Here to give you everything you need to know on your New York football Giants are Black Friday.
Welcome to the New York football Giants, Saquon Barkley, a.k.a. the Golden Child.
Eve of Tony.
Do you know who Alec Ogletree is? Like, I'm asking you for real.
Really?
That is me. But do you know who he is?
J-Rock.
You saying we going 16-0, huh?
16-0, bro. How dare you say
anything
worse? How dare you?
Out
your mind.
You know
we
just drafted the Messiah.
Obi, the one and only, Shakes Montana.
Now, is that man with a prospect like a Peyton Manning or a Joe Montana, like I've been saying the whole fucking time, you don't pass up on this talent. You don't do it.
Now, here is your host, Shakes Montana.
Yo, not Shakes, it's actually not your average Tuesday. We got the greatest show alive going on right now, just Shake Down. Not your average Tuesdays, be getting it popping. Sorry, one second here. I got to go through a bunch of stuff, and I'm looking through some things, and I want to make sure I get this number down correctly. So it's going to be 915-796. Again, the number to call in, 914-205-5796. Go ahead and you can give it a listen, or you can push the number one, and, you know, I can tell you how you're wrong about your sports opinions. However you want to do it, go ahead and give us a call. We're going to talk Giants. We're going to talk the shellacking that they took to the Los Angeles Rams that I think everyone anticipated. Didn't look like it was going to be that way starting off. I think it was 3-0 on New York for a good portion of the beginning of that game. And then, of course, it looked like the Rams were taking off the Rams and the Blinders were taking off. So there is some things that we need to talk about in Week 6 that happened that are not necessarily going to be talk of the town. We're not going to sit and spend probably more than, you know, a couple minutes on each of these topics here. Sorry, getting my situation ready here. Let me get my mic set up. Sorry, guys.
Alrighty, I'm sorry about that. We have, So, pretty much today's show is going to be Week 6. We're going to go over that. We're going to go over Week 7, but there's also some big things going on this week in the sports world. Tonight is Game 1 for a lot of teams in the NBA. Actually, I don't think it's a lot of teams. I think it's just a few. But this is the beginning of the NBA season for the 2021-2022 going into next season. So, you know, can the Bucks repeat who's their biggest threat, things of that nature. We won't get into a lot of that because we know it's football season. But we will get into some of that and get to talking about some of those games, maybe a couple of the biggest games we got coming up this weekend. But without further ado,
Hey, bro, when you say can the Bucks repeat and then you said, you know, it's still football season, you still correct in a way because you can ask, can the Bucks repeat, right, and in basketball, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a K missing in one, and, you know, I don't know if Tom Brady, I don't know, man. Can he not be a puto and keep it a buck like Antetokounmpo? We'll see. I don't know. But to go back to thanks for that pointing out those shakes. But run through the scores real quick. We'll go through all week six like we normally do,
no,
and then we'll go back and talk about.
The K stands for Kyrie. That's the K that's missing. You okay?
Okay,
you want to start the trash talking already. I see, first day,
so,
I get you. I don't understand, I'm going to let you go.
We're not going to interrupt out your set. We're going to get into that very soon and very often and very serious. Don't worry about it. It starts tonight.
All right. Well, now that we're back on track, so we're going to start off with Thursday night. Everyone watched it. Buccaneers beating the Eagles 28-22. Beginning Sunday morning, bright and early on the West Coast. Not so bad if you lived on the East Coast. In London, the Dolphins played the Jaguars, and the Jaguars got their first win of the season, 23-20 over the Dolphins in London. Starting with the early set of morning games, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 out here on the West Coast until that time zone switches. Kansas City looked like it was going to be a tough game there early. Taking over 31-13 over the Washington, formerly known as Redskins. L.A. Rams 38-11 over the New York Giants. The Texans losing to the Colts 31-3. The Bengals shellacking the Detroit Lions, the only winless team in the NFL, 34-11. The Los Angeles Chargers, Justin Herbert and them boys couldn't even manage 7 points, 34-6 against the Ravens. Vikings pulling out an overtime victory against the Panthers, 34-28. Cardinals, opposite end of the lines, the only undefeated team in the NFL, taking on the Cleveland Browns and with some injuries and some poor defensive play from the Browns, 37-14. Cardinals routing them there. Raiders getting a 10-point victory, 34-24 over the fraudulent Denver Broncos, 3-0 to start the season, 0-3 since then. Dallas Cowboys, 35-29 over the New England Patriots. New England Patriots, they have a quarterback, but this year they are probably not going to be good. Seattle Seahawks losing to the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are either of these teams? I don't think anyone knows. 23-20 Steelers over the Seahawks. And then, of course, last night's game, 34-31 Titans over the Bills. A lot to talk about there in week six. We will start off with some of these games that are pretty much much anew about nothing, but I know hit close to home for some of these co-hosts up on here. And without further ado, I know, like, you know, this is one of those forums where we just, you know, let everything out. But I'm going to introduce these fellas, even though you probably already know they're here. We have E the Chosen. We also have Shakes Montana. I believe we also have Black Friday with us. So, fellas, the first game we're going to discuss here, Dolphins, it's the early morning. Dolphins and the Jaguars early over across the pond. Again, this is the Jaguars' second home. I think they have a better winning record there than they do at home in Jacksonville. That's probably hyperbole, but it seems that it might be true. This game looking like, again, I didn't watch the first part of it, seeing how I was still catching some Z's. But once I got, you know, got up and started watching it, it looked like it was, you know, Miami doing what they had to do. Was it 13-3 there? And then, of course, they blow the 10-point lead. Jacksonville comes back. Trevor Lawrence, you know, showing some flashes of the quarterback that we thought he was going to be, you know, consistently. So we'll see if the consistency comes back there. But, you know, down the stretch, Jacksonville, you know, needing to field goal to win it. They do it. You know, they stop the Dolphins turnover on downs, and then they get the ball back. And, you know, five plays, 16 yards, they get the field goal there. Anything stick out to you on this game? I know, you know, late in the game, Dolphins need a first down. They punt and turn over on downs. How much of that is on the coaching? How much is that on the IR-ridden quarterback? We'll get to know about that a little more. So we'll go ahead and start the way this goes. I believe that is Shakes at Top Shakes. Miami, Jacksonville, tell me, did you watch this game? Did you just check the score and then say, oh, wow, that's crazy. Now the Eagles have another top 10 pick with that Miami Dolphins trade they did.
No, I was watching it. I mean, I wasn't so much invested in it because we was doing a show and all that good stuff. But I was, I had my eye on it, and a few things stuck out. Of course, my boy Tua threw for 300, right? Also, we was talking about it in the hotel room. Pause, right? But in the hotel room, us four. You know, sorry, Nacho, but not included. Try to go hard body, but we ain't gonna talk about that. But we was in this hotel room, and J-Rock was like, "Do you want Jalen Waddle?" And then he turned around and looked and said, "Oh, never mind. I cut him. He wasn't producing, right?" And I believe either Chosen One from the Bronx turned around and looked at him, or it could have been LRP. But he turned around and looked at him and said, you do know that Tua is back this week, right? And he looked at me and said, Tua is back? And I said, yes,
that
sir.
Yes, that was me.
Right. And so in the game, Jalen Waddle goes off, and all I could think about is J-Rock's face looking at me like, Tua is playing? Yes, sir. Yes, he is. And Jalen Waddle had a great game because of it. So, and wah, bad coaching on that part on J-Rock, but we ain't going to talk about that. Well, we just did. Anyway, also, for Urban to come out and win this game, what they lost like 20 straight games or something like that? It was like on a 20-game losing streak? Some shit like that? Like, who the fuck does that? Like 20-game losing streak? Oh, my God. So, or is it in the road? I don't know what it was, but I know it was 20-game losing streak on something. I don't know, but I was like, they snapped that streak, and I was like, wow, that's a terrible-ass streak, man. So, for them to do that for Urban and everything that he was going through with the controversy, it was just all fitting. It was all fitting. You know, that's the NFL. You know, they always have to have a story there. So that was what I thought about the game. It was pretty entertaining, though, even though it was some bad teams. But it was, for the most part, pretty entertaining.
All right. E, now I heard you jump in and say that you did say something about, you know, Tua and Waddle being back. So is there something that you thought that, you know, they were able to go off? Albeit in a loss, did you think that maybe they were going to be out there? And what made you give you that? Was it them two specifically, or the team they're going against? Because like you mentioned, it was 20 straight losses. They won week one last year and without Urban Meyer, obviously, as their head coach, you know, rattle off 15 straight losses and then begin this year with 0-5. So that's the 20 straight losses that the Jaguars suffered. And then, of course, there's a much made about Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence's, you know, history of winning. I believe only one time in his career, you know, Urban Meyer had a five losses total in a season in college. And then, of course, we all know Mr. Trevor Lawrence didn't win a total of five games his entire high school college career. So, you know, they just need to get back on the winning track. But what made you think Jalen Waddle and Tua, as glass as his bones may be, was going to get Waddle the ball and maybe get 300 yards, you know, and show us that he could be a quarterback. Maybe not a quarterback that can get the wins, but can go out there and put up yards.
I'm going to save the side shots for after and get into them. So I'm going to answer your question first. First, You got to look at the history of these guys in college. That's number one. Knew each other from school, went to Alabama together, history, kind of receiver that makes Tua a better quarterback. I always get into quarterbacks making receivers great as well as receivers making quarterbacks great. This guy knows this kid. He's familiar with him. He's his best friend. He's his roommate, all of these things. So me knowing that he was coming back automatically let me know who his favorite target was going to be. This was the setup and design when he was drafted. Then on top of that, when you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars, you look at their secondary, I think outside of A.J. Boye, I think that's his name, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have any familiar names that makes you feel like they're either Pro Bowl level or top, right, or top five cornerback. They have no secondary to stop anybody. The Jacksonville Jaguars have regressed to an expansion team since Tom Coughlin left, and they have not had a winning culture in God knows how long. So, once again, the Miami Dolphins, Tua Waddle, secondary suspect, bunches of question marks, and they have a way better defense than Jacksonville just mm-hmm. happened to show up this day. And I picked them, by the way, because, of course, you know, Tua is Shake's son. Lawrence is my son. And this was my upset of the week. And guess what? On a field goal in London, who have more wins than the Jacksonville Jaguars have more wins in London than they do in the United States this year. So I say that to let it be known, my son shined. He shined. He beat your son. Your son did shine, but it wasn't like that. And I got the victory in that, in the prediction pool, and it felt good because God knows when the next time these guys are going to play. And it goes down like that, and I do get the chance to talk my ish for a couple of years or so to Shakes. So, yeah, that was my thoughts. It happened the way that I said it would. Of course, not the predicting of the field goal, but Tua and Waddle hooking up, giving whoever fantasy points that they needed, if so, but my son coming out on top. So, you know, just one of them things that he does, Eastradamus style, nothing big.
Yes, and of course, those two guys, they're going to be talked about, especially since they played played against each other in a college championship game, and then they also now they'll be playing against each other in the NFL for time to come. LRP is joining us as well. We're going to get this next game kicking off. The next game, we won't talk much about the game because it is what it is, but I want to talk more about what we just talked about in Jalen Waddle and Tua Tagovailoa. And is this going to be a trend in the NFL where we see NFL teams now? Again, I don't know how many teams in the college league are going to have a top five, top 10 quarterback, and then also have a top five, top 10 wide receiver come out the following year or possibly the same year. But Cincinnati Bengals 34-11 over the Detroit Lions. Cincinnati Bengals made a conscious decision to put trust in the offensive line and the offensive line's coach and what they had going on. And they decided to forebode going and getting a top-notch offensive lineman like Penei Sewell in lieu of getting their newly founded quarterback, Joe Burrow, coming off an ACL injury, his favorite target in all of college, Ja'Marr Chase. So is this going to be one? Again, we won't talk much about this game. The Lions are the Lions. You know, it is what it is. We can move on from there. They're going to probably be defeated until somebody overlooks them. The question or the thing is, will Tua and Waddle, Ja'Marr and Joe Burrow, and now what Justin Jefferson's doing, again, it's not a quarterback he had in college, but those things, those wide receivers, do we feel as if NFL teams will start trying to match up players of those caliber maybe together as try harder and harder as much as they can in the future to come? Because I don't think either of those spots are missing when it comes to the cohesiveness of those positions on those two teams now and coaching other things around them. But to me, and I'll make this quick and then we'll move on and we'll get on to J-Rock and them boys. To me, this is the way of the future. I think we will see a lot more guys who are maybe top echelon quarterbacks go in the top 5, 10, or whatever, and then they go get their guys who they threw to in college. You get them a little more continuity coming into the NFL. You get them a little more something to, you know, think about. Now, again, if we're talking about guys that are 4th, 5th, 6th rounders, whatever. You're probably not going to do that. But I'm thinking guys that are maybe 3rd, 2nd rounders. I think teams will make conscious efforts if they go and get a top-notch quarterback in the year's future to try and get some of his teammates, specifically the wide receiver position, because we see what's happening. And I think what we talk about mostly when college quarterbacks and wide receivers come into the game is we always talk about their college career and then who either was throwing the football or catching the football. I mean, we talked about that before Waddle even went to Miami, and now he just looks like a different quarterback. He just looks a little bit different. And maybe the consistency can come, but it just looks different. He looks a little more, I don't want to say poised, but comfortable in those situations, knowing he's got a quote-unquote security blanket. Now, can he get his open consistently against these guys in the NFL? We'll see that. But I'm really liking the idea behind it, and I'm really liking the way that these teams have done it. Now, again, you have to have a lot of faith in Cincinnati to not go after the offensive line, especially your quarterback just gets killed. But, I mean, we're looking at Randy Moss-type numbers from Ja'Marr Chase this year. So I'm going to end it at that. We'll start at the bottom this time, work our way up. J-Rock, welcome with us. Thank you, sir. Anything you want to talk about? Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow going, handling their business against the Lions like we all assumed. But do you think this is the way of the future? Go and get your quarterback, and either that same year or the next year, go and get maybe a wide receiver or a top-notch tight end that he was throwing to in the college game. All right, looks like J-Rock's going to be kicking in the background, which is cool. E, question to you.
Yeah, they should be good.
Yeah,
if I may, I would like to just real quick say, like, I think, I don't know how much that is going to be a wave, but I feel like that is the best thing. Like, if you have and go ahead and invest in a young quarterback, it's always good to give him a connection that he's used to, a weapon that he's used to and has a connection with, is what I meant to say. And it will make the process more easier for a young rookie. Now, again, I don't know how much that's going to happen going forward, but I think that is one of the best things. Like, a lot of times when they draft a quarterback in the 3rd round, they may draft that quarterback's tight end that they had in college, or, you know what I mean, or their running back that they was used to handing the ball off to. It's all about comfortability. It's making the player feel more comfortable. And I feel like that's why it bodes well. I just don't know how much in history that's going to actually happen going forward. But, yeah, that's my take on it. Sorry, E. I just butt you out in the line.
No, you're good. No worries. That's fine. And we'll get to E right now in a second. I just really think that that's a great point. My thing is, to be frank, is if you've got a guy and you've got another guy in college, if they're coming out the same year, the odds of you being able to get both of them, especially if they're both first-round talent, unless you're Miami, you know, having 2 or 3 in the first round every goddamn year, it seems like, for the past few years, you're not going to be able to get those guys. Now, those two teams in general, Miami and Cincinnati, you know, you stink it up enough to get 1 and 4 and 1 year's draft. You get Burrow, you get Tua. I don't know if they're going to – stink it up again, and if they don't stink it up, if they're even in a, you know, a place to get Waddle or Ja'Marr Chase, you know, if Joe Burrow doesn't get hurt, are the Bengals even number 4? That, you know, they might be a top 10 still, maybe 10, 9, you know, 11. I'm thinking that boy's gone by then. Ja'Marr Chase ain't lasting the first game, Dick. So, it just, you know, those things are, I guess, they're going to be hard to predict and say that that's the trend. But if you what I believe what will happen is if you've got guys, you know, first round talent at quarterback, and he's out there playing with a guy who's, you know, maybe got, you know, fourth or fifth round talent, but he's made that guy a second or third rounder because of what they've been able to do. I think they'll take a chance on that guy, try to give him a shot in the NFL and try to see if that continuity and that cohesiveness can translate into the NFL. Because, like you said, the more comfortability you get, the better it'll be moving forward. Now, E, same question, same kind of style to you. Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Tua, and Joe Burrow. Do we see this trend of going to get a high-powered weapon that they threw to in college the next year? And again, you know, I don't know how many teams are going to be top five 2 years in a row to get those type of talents, but maybe not specifically top five talents, but going to get the wide receiver or tight end that the quarterback threw to either the previous year or even that same year in college.
Well, it's going to be hard. Is it a trend? As of right now, I can't agree with it because not many teams are able to do that because either one makes your team better or your team worse. Now, the anomaly with Joe Burrow getting hurt in his first season, which, you know, allowed them to be back in the top 10, of course, or you could look at teams like Cleveland, who stay in the top 10 until they actually got a team together a couple of years ago. Detroit, who stays in the top 10 until they got a team together. Us as well, stay in the top 10 in the last 5 or 6 years as well. So when you look at it like that, I don't know if it's a trend or not, but it does make sense. It's something that you want to do, as Shakes alluded to, and you said the comfortability, having the connectivity with someone, it means you don't have to get acclimated to an offensive system without a guy you don't know. Also, temperament, brotherhood, connection, being around a guy for a while, you know, you learn his nuances, little things like that. But it's really, really tough to think that it could trend unless your team sucks, because one guy makes a team better and the quarterback may be good. He just may need a wide receiver. Or the wide receiver is so good, he just may need a quarterback. So that may take them out of the top 10.
Same thing with tight end. Not only that, can I build off and I'll let you go on that. But not only that, though, that quarterback makes that wide receiver much better in college, so he's highly more recruited. So it's less of a chance of you sitting there getting that wide receiver that he had so much of a connection with, because he put up big numbers and he's highly recruited as well as you. You know what I mean? So that getting that type of deal is going to be rare. But, yeah, I'm sorry for cutting you off, my bad. But I just wanted to say that.
Is everybody all right today? I'm just asking. I just like to check the temperature in the room. Is everybody good? All right, cool.
Is everybody all right?
No, I just want to know. Like, I will not say I love this conversation. I'm hyper for it, too. We missed out on yesterday's show, so I know we swelling up with some, you know, some clouds of NFL anger and hatred. I can't wait till we get to our part, which is the Giants. But, yeah, again, to that point, that's exactly how it goes. So trending is your team is going to have to also have that need. Think about it. They took a risk on taking Ja'Marr Chase, but the top offensive lineman whom you want to protect, the quarterback who did get injured because his line was not as great, took a leap of faith and said, you know what? Having this guy will allow him to get the ball out quicker, so things like that may not happen. The NFL setting the new rules for quarterbacks, I mean, each year, which does protect the quarterbacks more each and every year. And also, like we were just talking about, it's going to be hard. But will it be a trend? Let's look at it on moving forward for the next couple of years. It happens again 2 years in a row. I'll jump on the trend bandwagon. But as of right now, I just think it was luck of the draw, losing teams and need and pick, you know, for the quarterback that they had. But that's about it. So moving forward, it'll be. you know, I'll get on that. I'll jump on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I think to be.
I'm all pumped about this NBA season. Got my Nets coming on, babe.
You know, it's very like I said, it's very anomalistic as it pertains to the draft in the last couple of years, and we talk about the Cincinnati Bengals and we talk about the Miami Dolphins. Again, with Joe Burrow getting the ACL tear last year, who knows if he's, you know, if they're even top four, top five, if he's healthy all year. So those type of things, again, I can't predict that a team was going to go, you know, and be a top five back-to-back. I think the thing that – give me 1 second here, I got to sneeze. I think the thing that the thing that really gets me thinking that maybe this is the trend to go forward and not a trend now is the way that they've worked together in the league. Now, again, these are four guys that are top five talent in the NFL. I think it may be actually easier if it's a guy who maybe is a third or fourth round talent and a quarterback who's a top five guy. To be able to maybe match those two together in the later rounds. And I think we will see a trend of in the later rounds going to get maybe guys that their top quarterback to be this pick played with in college, take a chance on that to see if, again, that cohesiveness can translate to the NFL. Real quickly before we get into the meat and potatoes of what we're really going to talk about. And E, I'm sorry, I did not mean to ignore that question. I am fine. I just found out my quarterback not only is a partial owner in the Milwaukee Bucks, but a partial owner in the Chicago Bears. So I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good about that. There's a couple games that I want to talk about. Maybe we'll do one of them, then we'll get into the one we really, really want to talk about. And that is
Can you repeat that one more time for the people? You said that really, really fast. Can you slow down just a little bit and let the people let that sink in? Say that one more time, brother.
How I'm feeling? Is that what you're asking?
Also, you said something about your quarterback being what?
Oh, yes. I'm feeling good because I just found out that not only is my quarterback a partial owner of the Milwaukee Bucks, but he also happens to be a partial owner of the Chicago Bears. And I did not know that till this weekend, but I just –
Can you guys think about that for 1 minute? Let's not let that go over our heads. And I think this is something historical. I think we need to talk about things like that because I would love to know how that happens. How is an active player a partial owner of a team in his hometown and also a team he's playing against on Sunday? How does that work? Do you walk into the office and say, I just threw 300 against you guys for 4 TDs, but give me my how's things going business-wise? How does that work? Mm-hmm.
I think the hyperbole might have been taken out of context. I don't know if you heard about it this weekend, but Aaron Rodgers scampers for a 6-yard touchdown for a game-sealing 6-yard touchdown against the Chicago Bears. And as he rolls into the end zone after being pushed, he's on one knee. He gives a discount double check. He turns around and he sees about 2,000 Chicago Bears fans giving him the bird. He said, and verbatim, so we know, I have owned you my whole fucking life. I own you, screams, cheers with his teammates, turns back to the crowd, and I still own you. I still own you. That's what Chicago has to deal with. 22-5 in the regular season and the postseason against Chicago. 11-3 in Chicago.
Amen.
That is Aaron Rodgers' record.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
That sounds like some slave owners type stuff right there.
You know what? It's okay,
what's going on with that?
Here we go.
You should have said that differently.
I don't know. If you want to take it that way, you could take it that way, but I'm not going to take it that way. The dude has dominated that team. He's dominated that city since he has donned the green and gold. So, man, he owns that team. He owns that city. He owns those fans. And those fans are beside themselves right now. Bears Twitter don't know what to do with themselves because there's a man who they are bred and born to despise because he wears certain colors that they can't beat ever. Not in big games, not in little games, not in primetime games, not in 10 a.m., 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever time zone you want to play in. He dominates that team week in, week out, year in, year out. So that's just the way it is. And then, of course, we can make it. We can take it back even farther. Since Brett Favre became the quarterback in 1993, the Bears had a 20-plus game lead on the division rival, the division, the rivalry game. We now have a 7-game lead on them since then. We have caught up to those 20-pluses and surpassed them 7 games. So this has just been a bad time for Bears in the last 30 years. They've had 38 starting quarterbacks since Brett Favre became the starting quarterback in Green Bay. This is hurtful for a franchise that doesn't know what a quarterback looks like to watch their division rival have two of them for 30 years. And, of course, say what you want. They still got 2 chips while the Bears are pining about an 80s one. So it is what it is. And because he is not the actual owner of the Chicago Bears, he just happens to like, enjoy, and thoroughly whoop their ass every time they play, whether it's in Green Bay or in Chicago. Moving on, the game I really, 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 really wanted to talk about is the Cleveland Browns and the Arizona Cardinals. Is this the question is going to be this, and I'll back up and I won't say anything about it until everyone said their piece. Is this game about how good the Arizona Cardinals are / are they the best team in the NFL? Cleveland, or is this about Cleveland being injury ridden? No Chubb, no Landry, offensive line problems. Baker dislocates the shoulder. Is that the case? Or is Arizona the real deal? And this would have been a 37, maybe 24, 28, even if Baker played kind of game. We're going to start at the top, Shakes. Tell me how you feel. Is this Arizona's Super Bowl to lose? Or was Cleveland just hurt and we're waiting to see them play some good, healthy teams? Because, again, Arizona, I believe, still 100% healthy.
I don't know. I mean, I would say they Super Bowl contenders, yeah. I wouldn't say that they my Super Bowl favorite just yet. But, yeah, man, they beating up on teams. And Cleveland is a bipolar team to me. They play good and they got a lot of talent. But they can lose it just as well as they can win it. And so the consistency with Cleveland, to me, is a question. But as far as Arizona, yeah, they definitely championship contenders. But they got a tough division, man. And if it wasn't for Russell Wilson getting hurt, they would have a whole lot of shit to deal with. But they got the Rams to deal with. And, damn, I don't even want to talk about them motherfuckers. But, yeah, Arizona is definitely championship contenders.
Black Freeze, are you with us? I skipped over you a couple times because I thought you were in the background. Are you with us now?
Yeah.
All righty. Yeah. All right. Before we get on to the meat, potatoes and everything.
I hear you, Black.
I hear you.
Can you?
I hear you
too. Nacho?
Yeah, I can hear him.
Okay. Go ahead.
So,
my bad.
Black Freezy, my friend, sir, mister, Cleveland too hurt, Arizona got a Super Bowl in their hands, they just need to fuck it up. What's your thought process on that?
Yeah, now Cleveland banged up, but that ain't got nothing to do with the NFL. You know what I'm saying? You got to get your life together. Yeah, Arizona's coming for it, man. They actual coach and quarterback coach had COVID and shit like this. The fuck going on out here? And they fully vaccinated, too. So, yeah, I didn't know that. I'm writing all of these down. I got Vendetta. But the whole situation with this is that, you know, Arizona got a better squad. They just acquired Ertz, too. This shit getting ridiculous, stupid. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think they just that good.
Mm-hmm. You're the chosen one, my friend. Sir, same question to you, man. Do the Arizona Cardinals disrespect Larry Fitzgerald, or is Larry Fitzgerald a cancer and that's why they're winning? Or is a Cleveland
Ain't
Browns
he like 42?
Yeah, I'm just joking. We all know he's not a cancer. He's the greatest.
I know, right, man. That man is a staple in the NFL.
Yeah,
building.
I think it's just disrespectful that Cleveland and Arizona decide to win. Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry, real quick. I just think it's disrespectful Cleveland and Arizona decide to win after Joe Thomas and Larry Fitzgerald leave. That's neither here nor there. Cleveland, are they banged up and this is much ado about nothing? They'll get back on track? Or is Arizona just that good and they're going to smack, boom, everything on the way to another, on the way to their first NFL Super Bowl championship?
I don't see that being the case because that's the NFC for Arizona, and you still got to deal with the Bucks, still got to deal with the Rams. So, no, it's no lockdown Super Bowl at all for Arizona. It's way too early in an NFL season to talk like that, especially the way injuries are going this season, this year. Anybody can get hurt, as we see. And it's been taking teams away big time from winning and doing the things that they would normally do. You see Cleveland gets hurt. It takes away from their game plan, which means their winning formula. Chubb, 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 hunt, 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 receivers, receivers, receivers. Their run game opens up for their pass game, which makes their quarterback less of a turnover machine and a better offensive weapon because handing the ball off 45 times a game keeps you from throwing picks and interceptions and keeps your arm fresh. And then you got receivers on the outside who are 1,000-yard wide receivers when you give them the ball, and a star rising in Donovan Peoples-Jones. So, no. And yes, Cleveland is banged up, so that was the reason why it looked that way. Just like any team in the NFL. Injuries right now are plaguing teams to the point where they're not able to compensate for them. A Russell Wilson gets banged up. Geno Smith doesn't look that bad, but he make plays that Russell Wilson won't in a bad situation. Geno Smith has looked good for three and three-fourth quarters the top two times he played. And look what happens. At some point in time, that interception or that bad throw or that not being on the same page. So injuries do play a huge role. And no, Arizona does not have a Super Bowl lockdown. Little be as it may, people may not want to think about this, but it is 11 more NFL games to play, ladies and gentlemen. 11. No. Is my answer. And yes, injuries with Cleveland. Of course.
Yeah. And injuries are a thing. I mean, to be injury ridden this time of year, this early, it's not good. And it doesn't bode well for your record. So I don't know too many 5-1 teams that are dealing with lots of injuries, you know, on the offensive line, you know, on the defense, star corners and star linebackers. There's not very many of those teams out there that can suffer those type of injuries, left tackle out, those types, and still be 5-1 this type of year. It's just
purpose
not very hard. It's not easy to lose a lot of players at key positions like the Browns did, you know, and go out and still put out the forthright effort and still get victories, and still look like a team that doesn't miss a beat. So it's difficult. It's not easy to do. And then of course when you're relying on backups at key positions like the quarterback and this and that, it just it gets It gets real messy. I 100% believe at this day and age, we are in a right now moment and in a right now day and age, right now moments, right now everything, and right now, crown them. If you want to crown them, crown them. I mean, that they're 6-0. They're doing everything you have to. People are going to sit there and go, hey, you know, they're only a missed field goal away from being 5-1, and you know, and San Francisco almost beat them. They only beat them by 7, and San Francisco doesn't look good. Yeah, that's cool. They're still 6-0, boss. I don't understand a lot of the what ifs when it comes to that. The record is the record, and what if is what if. We know how it goes. It's just you have to be the team to win those games. And right now, they're doing it. They weren't that team last year. They weren't that team the year before. They had a lot of close victories that they could have came out that they weren't winning. A lot of close losses that they could have came out on top, but they just didn't. They weren't there yet. Kyler wasn't there yet. The team wasn't there yet. It just didn't click. This year, it is clicking. You go and get J.J. Swat. You go and do those things defensively. You go and get A.J. Green and put him at the third spot when he's still a viable number two in this NFL. You go out there and you do things to add on so Christian Kirk can be a viable number two and step up into the forefront. And then you have D-Hop. Then you've got James Conner revitalizing his career after leaving Pittsburgh. So the Arizona team right now, doing it the right way. They've got a great mix of young with old veteran leadership that is still talent in this league that it doesn't have to be called upon every single down. If you told me I just got J.J. Watt, all right, it's cool. We good. But you also got Chandler Jones. You also got to deal with Marcus Golden. You also got to deal with Isaiah Simmons. You also got, like, there's just so much that they throw at you, and it's not something where you go, oh, they've got elite Hall of Famers at every single position. They do got a few of those. But at every single position, they've got a good to great player that plays at that level because the guys around them, and then what they have also in coaching, they've just been able to put it together. This is a team that, to me, right now, they have the Super Bowl in their hands. Again, injuries are injuries. We can't look into the future and hope or not hope. We can't look into the future and think that someone's going to get hurt. I'm not thinking that. Everyone who's healthy right now stays healthy. Everyone who can come back comes back and stays healthy. That's what I think. This is a Madden game to me, goddammit. I want everyone to be healthy for the entire season. It's not going to happen, we know. But the way it looks, Arizona, they can lose a couple pieces besides Kyler. They're going to be all right. They gonna be all right. So this is, to me, this is Arizona's time. They are shining. They, you know, we were told NFC West was the best division in all of football. They played the division twice and smacked them. So they are doing everyone. The NFC West is the best division in football,
including me.
Who else is there? Like you can't. There's a couple divisions that got one or two, but top to bottom, 100% healthy. The NFC West is nothing to scoff at. A healthy Russell Wilson, 100% beats the dog piss out of Pittsburgh. So that is not even a thought process in my mind that the NFC West is the best division that we've seen in a while. They've got two legit Super Bowl contenders.
Agreed.
And two teams that could, with healthy quarterback play, could make a deep run into the playoffs with defense and the way that their coaches and Kyle Shanahan and Pete Carroll know what the fuck they know how to do. That division, top to bottom, head coach, quarterback again, stays healthy. There's not a better division in football than the NFC West. Not a one. AFC West kind of trying. But Herbert can't even put up a whole, 10 points? And you know, this, maybe AFC West to get there, but as we're talking right now in 2021, this NFC West is no joke. They could have three playoff teams, possibly four if Russell gets healthy sooner than later. I mean, we could have an all-NFC West NFC Championship game. And I don't think that's happened in over a decade to have the same division in the NFC Championship. I'm not quote me on that. I don't think that's happened in a long time. So those teams have, again, you can check the record. I was glowing about the Rams 2 weeks ago, and they smoked them. They smoked them, J-Rock. Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, the defense that my team, your team, and 30 other teams are scared of, 29 other teams are scared of. Kyler Murray and them boys put up 38
on
them.
Ain't nobody scared. Talk about scary business here.
Hey.
Don't talk about scared business.
Hey, it is what it is. I mean, you may not be scared, but you game planning for that defense.
God.
The whole time. I mean, that defense is out there doing things. So, I mean, it is what it is. The Rams are the Rams. They're probably going to, you know, crank off 13 wins. I see Arizona doing nothing less than 14. You're going to have a 9-10 win team in third place and a 9-10 win team in fourth place. Like, that's just the skinny and the long, the fat, the short, all of it.
Let's pump the brakes right now because, I mean, it's not even halfway through the season yet. So if Arizona is still undefeated halfway through the season, I'm going to give it to them. Nobody can beat them. They're putting up 30-plus a week. Defense is stout. So if they're still undefeated by the halfway mark of the season, then I'm going to give it to them. They're Super Bowl bound, and they'll win the Super Bowl.
They got 10 days. They got, I think, less than 10 days from now that will play two games. They're playing the Houston Texans on Sunday. They play the Green Bay Packers, both at home, in the next 8 days. And 10 since they played on Sunday. If they come out of those two games 8-0, like, it's the same thing we're talking about now. Like, Texans, they're going to walk over. Like, there's no doubt in our mind. So they have 10 days to prepare for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, who are injury-ridden, who, you know, don't have a starting left tackle, don't have a starting cornerback, don't have Za'Darius Smith. This is the game. You take a stranglehold of the NFC. You show a top contending team that you mean business, like you did to the Rams, like they did to, you know, every other team they faced so far. And you're 8-0 after that. I don't see how anyone at any.com could not put them at number one. And I don't see how any sports book doesn't have them a minus 250 favorite to win the whole damn thing. And it's just the way it is. And we've been going on long here, and it's enough of this shit. NFC West, they're good. They can all suck it. To me, it's whatever. I hope they all lose the rest of the year. And it is what it is. Let's get to the meat and potatoes. What we all want to talk about. We are also joined by the great, the impeccable Dan C. from the West Coast, and as well as my main man, who has no problems in Houston, because I believe they're up on the Boston Red Sox in the ALCS. I could be wrong on that. Don't quote me. LRP's with us as well. Dan C., J-Rock, E., Black, Shakes, 914-205-5796. Again, you could just listen to us, or you could call in, and we can all tell you how your opinion's wrong or right, depending on if you agree with us. We'll just let you know. The end-all, be-all. Peace. The games.
What's going on?
LRP, we're going to start right with you, sir. We're going to give you the floor. We talked about the NFL's Week 6 games. I don't know how much of that you caught. You could go on any game you want to, anything you want to, and you will be the first one to start us off on the Los Angeles Rams making the long trek and doing those, making the long trek out east against your New York Giants and taking those things down. So LRP, anything you want to talk about week six? Anything you want to say about any other games before we get into your New York Giants at 1-5 now, losing to the Los Angeles Rams 38-11? You're on the floor. It's all yours.
Peace to the gods. Peace to the earths. And peace to the stars and the moon. The sun don't shine over MetLife. Understand.
Peace.
I just caught the back end. J-Rod, Black Freezy, I see you. All right, Shakes, Easy Chosen One, we all in the building. Dan C, AG. I just caught the tail end of what y'all was talking about as far as the Cardinals is concerned. Red Sea all day. Practically that whole damn team between them and the Jets was all scouted by the God. But shouts out to Isaiah Simmons, man. He, in his second year, very comfortable. Him and Xavier Collins looked dope. Son Riddick, J.J. Watt was a hell of a pickup. A.J. Green, the team is nice. The team is nice. Brian Murphy, myself, Washington. Coming back, I know he had a couple of ailments and then the bye. But, yo, Arizona is dope, and I would have got Boogie Nicky all the way for Kyler Murray Pauls. I told y'all that the kid was sick. I would have straight up did it. If Shakes could still say he was born that, I can still say what I just said. But I love watching that team play. As far as the games that I caught that stuck out this week for me would be the first one, actually. Jacksonville, Miami, because everybody picked Miami, and I picked Jacksonville, and they won their first game. But it was, Trevor Lawrence did some throws, man, in that game that was just really, really sick, man, you know, watching the playback, running, you know what I mean, doing some Kyler Murray-esque type throws, you know, running on a, throwing on a run, and then putting perfect English to catch his man, Chenault. I think his name is Chenault. And hell of a play, hell of a throw. Terrible, as usual. Somebody really needs to start finding these guys. Whoever is in charge of the competition committee, they got to do something to get these people to pay more, you know, to at least care more. You know what I'm saying? If not anything else, to fucking care more, to take a second and say, maybe I got that wrong. Let me huddle up with the black hats, with the one white hat, because it's just too much my way or the highway. They don't listen. You know what I'm saying? Not that they're supposed to listen to the players. That's a slippery slope. I'm not saying that, but just take a beat. Take a beat. You know what I mean? Because that man got that first down, bro. Josh Allen is dope. Shout out to Either Chosen One for that one. Pat Mahomes, people was talking crazy about him. This is a week-to-week league. You know, shouts out to Black Freezy for that one. You know, dude is ridiculous. Stop it. You know, stop it. Chiefs are still the Chiefs. But other than that, I ain't got shit to talk about that funky-ass game. I'm going to let everybody else go, and hopefully I'll find out. You know, not hopefully, because I'll find it as need be. But I ain't got shit to say about the funky-ass Giants or that funky-ass game.
All righty. We'll take that cue. Dan C., my friend, I know you're usually short and sweet. You don't have, you give it to us straight. Give it to us your game analysis, New York Giants, Los Angeles Rams, 38-11. Anything you do want to say or like LFP, you're fed up as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm thin fed up with them. That game was exactly what I expected. But from last week, the Ravens surprised me. Positively, that was surprising, coming off a Monday night game and whooping up on the Chargers like that. And then the other one was, like LRP said last night, the Bills surprised me. The refs have been bad all the time to me, all across the board, all the games. There were really something's up. Like, I don't know if it's a bunch of rookie refs or what's going on. But the Bills surprised me last night, too. I thought they'd handle business. Easy to say you'd kick the field goal now. But maybe, you know, I think the rest of the league going for things on fourth down, McDermott made the right call and showed his team he believes in them, like the rest of these coaches are showing, which are all folks. Oh, you lost me. My apologies.
No, I can hear you now. That might have been me, but I can hear you now. You're good.
I like McDermott going for it on fourth is all I'm saying. He's showing Josh Allen I believe in you, like the rest of these playoff caliber teams going forward on fourth, believe in their quarterback. So the Ravens and the Bills surprise me. Up and downside are both surprises.
Exactly. Again, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. That's funny to me because, you know, they kick the field goal, they lose the coin toss, and they can't stop Derrick Henry. And why didn't you go for it instead of kicking the field goal is now the response. So, yeah, there's always haters. Somebody's always got somebody to say, something to say. But these refs are bad. Mike Pereira did an awesome interview on a podcast on YouTube for the Pat McAfee Show. Speaking about how these young guys, not necessarily young, but these refs now, they just hit the button and they talk to someone to get the confirmation. They don't even, they're looking to someone else for help at every play. They're not even making their own decisions or doing their own thing. So these refs need to go. It's going to be wild, but, you know, one day we won't see a single ref on the field, and I can't wait for that. J-Rock, my friend, 38-11. Giants losing to the Rams. Anything you'd like to discuss about this game? Again, we're kind of beating a dead horse here when it comes to your team and these losses, but anything you would like to say to talk about to your team and anything even positive that you saw?
I didn't watch the game at all, so I can't really talk about what happened. Well, I saw his highlights. But, I know because I was, you know, in travel, as most people on here know. I turned on the radio. The score was 0-3 in the first quarter. I said, okay, all right, Giants, all right, they moving. Hour later, I turned it back on, 14-3. I'm like, all right, man, what's going on? They're going to score. 30 minutes later, I turned it back on, it's 28-3. I said, what the fuck is going on? That shit's over. 28-3 already? Damn. And that's when I call LRP. I'm like, LRP, is it that bad? I'm like, is it that bad? What's going on? LRP is like, son. Yeah, bro, it's bad. I'm like, damn.
Hmm.
So I really can't speculate. I can't talk about it because I didn't see it. I didn't see exactly what happened, but it was an ass whooping.
Respect again. Again, that's just that's the way of the land. My friend and I, the roommates and I, had the same exact experience J-Rock had. We're sitting there like, God damn, 0-3. Okay, this is any given Sunday. Let's see what this is made of. And then 28-3 as soon as we look back. So, yeah, it's one of those things that you just you expected it. And then, of course, it wasn't going as expected to start the game. And then everything kind of went the way you expected it. ETC, my man, E the Chosen One, sir, anything you want to say, any old white you want to yell at, any fat guy you want to tell him he should get, you know, lose his job, anything like that, because I think there's a lot of them that deserve a good tongue lashing from these fans because I don't think they're getting enough of it.
At this point, brother, you got to look at it, you know, I know we're going to get on here today. And I know people are going to be dropping the F-bomb and saying how they feel about the team. And I just want to tell all of you how to shut the fuck up. And I'm going to tell you why I said that. And I mean no disrespect to my friends, family, listeners, callers, bloggers. I just want y'all to all shut the fuck up. Because if you just shut the fuck up and think, you've been talking about the same thing for the better part of a decade. You have no real conversation. We have seen this before over and over and over. If the team is not ravaged by injuries, we made a bad decision in the draft, a free agent isn't panning out, our quarterback is not the best, are we going to move on from Eli Manning? But guess what? In all those topics, the equivalent is the same. Losing. So at this point, hopes of winning can't possibly run through anyone's mind. My friends know that I said that I was going to give an assessment after 6 games. We're here now. I said after 6 weeks I'm going to give you all my pure final thoughts. For those of you that say this statement, blow it all up. Shut the fuck up, too. For you, those of you that say this statement, get rid of Dave Gettleman. Shut the fuck up. For those of you that say, we're just a bad team, shut the fuck up. You've been saying the same thing for 10 years, damn near. You know what it's going to take? Upper management in the organization to either die or quit. So until that happens, why are we still talking about this? Why are we still beating a dead horse? Why are we still acting like we're drinking the Kool-Aid? Why do we give hope to a hopeless situation? And there's only one word for it. And I actually suffer from it too. It's called insanity. Everybody that calls into this show, everybody that speaks to me outside, all of my friends, here is the light bulb. You are all insane, and I am too. Okay? That's it. If you sound like you sounded 3 years ago, you're insane. If you sound like you sounded 2 years ago, you're insane. If you sound like you sounded a year ago, you're insane. If you sound like you did two games ago, you're insane. Just face it. Just like I have. We are cuckoo for not Cocoa Puffs because I hate that cereal. We are just insane. So let's just talk like insane people, okay? With some sanity, if that makes sense to you all. We're insane people, but we're going to talk with sanity. I bet you no one on this phone will ever have a better quote than that right there for the rest of the season. I dare somebody to challenge your own insanity and try to make it sane.
Can I try?
You gonna fuck up. Go ahead.
Real quick. I had something for you. I need Black to go first, if we can, please. And then, Shakes, you give us your all-out opinion. I want to hear every single word. And then we'll shoot into Shakes fantasy and Shakes stuff, if that's cool with you guys. But I want to get Black in first and then give Shakes the floor after all that.
Real quick, just one statement that I was going to make. Same way everything that either Chosen would just say very eloquently, I'm going to say the same thing. Same way he asked the question, the answer for my response, just like we do Congress, until they die or quit, we do the same thing. So that's why. So let's get political, and we are going to definitely get political. And that was all I had to say.
And that's why I love you, because your sanity makes sense, because you're insane as well. Love you.
And real quick before Black and Shakes get on a roll, I'm going to have to deal with some paperwork and stuff. I'm dealing with people talking to me, so I don't want to interrupt the background while they go. Throw this little snippet in there. Will this be the day and age that the fan bases can make real-time changes like other things in the world are happening where people on the internet can kill someone's entire life? Why don't fan bases take the realization that they could actually make some real change atop if they do the things that maybe some other thing, other, I'm not mentioning names, other things do on the internet that maybe, say, cancel an entire person's life? Why won't the fan bases realize they can do that? And that's not just serious, that's a lot. But go ahead, Black, and then Shakes after Black. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Yo. Yeah, man. I don't know what's going on outside of John Mayer, and his family and them. They just being cursed and shit. They got a voodoo doll, somebody got something on them. Annabelle in the locker room, I don't know, bro. Outside of, a lot of bad decisions, a lot of bad choices. This game right here, it's just a pivotal point of the season to show us exactly who we are, man. And we're going to tune in tomorrow, Sunday, to see it again, you know what I mean? And to see exactly what this team has to the end. Unfortunately, you know, I always say, you know, these teammates are in bad relationships with this, you know, franchise, but we are too. We're in a very tumultuous, very terrible relationship with this franchise, man. It's a very sick one, too. But, you know, we're going to keep it on. Daniel Jones, man, I feel real bad for the kid. He looked lost, man. I don't know if he's fully all right, you know, from the brain shaking he took. If he came back kind of soon, but if you get cleared, you get cleared, you know. If you get cleared, hopefully you get cleared. You know what I mean? So Saquon not being there, all of these are tragedies. That's why when somebody else's team is all hurt and somebody banging on like the Browns, so what? Fuck them. Nobody gives a fuck about us. You know what I mean? We all bang the hell up too. So what? So, you know, in that regard, that game was horrible, man. It was terrible to watch. The Zebras have been terrible this whole season. You know, I always hate them motherfuckers and always got something to say about them. But ultimately, this ain't about the referees, man. This is about a terrible team. We got to see the depth of our team. The wide receivers, again, unfortunately, all banged the fuck up. And we get to see exactly what we have, man, against a great team. And we have nothing. 11 fucking points, things of this nature. You know what I'm saying? One great drive, you know, and some garbage time, you know, points. If that. 11 points, bro? Sure. So, you know, this, you know, another terrible outing. Hopefully we get some healthy participants back. Who do we play next? I don't even know who the fuck we play next, man. I'm so disinterested at this point.
Panthers.
Carolina.
Oh, like Carolina. Yeah, so shout out to Shakes and him son. Hopefully he come in here and put a mud hole in us real quick and I'll get him my fantasy. But I don't even know no more, man. This shit is terrible. I don't even got that fan.
Shit.
You know what, Black?
We're all
I just want to tell you I love you. Yep. I just want to tell you I love you. And you know what, Nacho? I probably skipped over the game announcement to give you the whole entire feeling. Right? So the game analysis is this. First drive, right, gentlemen? Let's discuss it. He comes out 4-for-4, firing on all cylinders because the game plan was centered around Kadarius Toney, right? And it worked. Don't get it twisted. We're not going to act like it didn't work. We get down to the goal line. Jason Garrett, once again, doesn't understand what to do in that situation because all his plays are to get into the red zone. He doesn't have an after-the-red-zone playbook. We all can say that now. It's after six games. We see what's up, right? Okay. Kadarius Toney gets hurt. What's Jason Garrett's game plan? Listen, gentlemen. He's about to play football with receivers that he has not one bit of continuity with at all. Hasn't practiced with, aren't in the game plan, and probably won't get any game playing time unless it is garbage time. John Ross never ran one go route and got the ball thrown long to him. Dante Pettis was out of sync and out of rhythm in his timing, and every time he throws to Evan Engram, something bad happens. I don't know why. But every time he targets Evan Engram, something bad happens. Then on top of that, we're playing with another patchwork offensive line because Andrew Thomas got hurt and had to be taken out of the game, and now they're out of sync, no camaraderie against a fully healthy, ready beast animal in the Rams playing against a banged-up Giants team who just needs a couple of guys to be healthy to even give them a shot, and those couple of guys got hurt in this game. We felt a little okay with Andrew Thomas coming back, Kadarius Toney being there, Sterling Shepard playing, Evan Engram doing what he does, which is whatever he is or does, right? And just feeling decent. Guess what? Kadarius Toney down, Andrew Thomas down. It's over. Cannot come into a situation with minimum hands against a maximum team like that. It's not going to work. Soon as that happened, look what happened. We can't compensate, gentlemen. We're not built like that. We're built for our starters to play to give us a chance. Nothing else. Doesn't matter what Daniel Jones has in the lock on the depth chart. It's not how we're built. We never built our teams like that, even with Eli Manning. We never built our teams like that. Starters go down, situations take place, interceptions can't be overcome, turnovers look bad, it's just a disaster. Again, we all saw this before. It's nothing different.
You done?
Shakes, please spit that.
I ain't want to cut you off. Because I don't want to be cut off when I go. I mean, go
ahead. Don't. Your Nets is getting their ass whipped, too, because my man is not having it. Let's talk on it.
Fucking Kyrie. We'll talk about that in a minute. But
you know I'm not fearful of the headset, gentlemen. The headset button. Y'all know what button that is. I'm not fearful of it. So don't interrupt my man, Shakes.
I do believe we have a caller. I'm not sure. But I'm going to go, and then we can take the caller, and then they can say whatever they got to say. And then I'll go on the fantasy. All right. So I was happy that Daniel Jones came back in this game. Felt like if any chance of winning, we needed him. Talked about it all week and to my fellas. The game happened. And this is not a pile on to Daniel. Because I'm not going to just attack him. I'm going to attack a lot of things. But Daniel Jones definitely should have sat. He definitely should have sat out in this game because his throws was off, his connection was off. I don't know where the fuck his head was. Maybe the light was fucking up his shit, but he was off. And that concussion, I'm going to put that on it. That's what I'm going to put. Just like I put it on the cancer and the chemo with Gettleman, putting the goddamn concussion on that performance as all right. He was sick, y'all. Okay? Don't attack my quarterback. He was sick. Number two, all right? Number two, we did not have a spark besides the rookie. And once the rookie went down, so did we. We could not do anything else. The rookie was making the concussion look better because he was compensating for that shit. He had five catches and I believe six targets, I don't know, but five catches in the minimal time that he was out there. That means he's about to have a big-ass motherfucking game. So he goes down, so do we. Then I'm going to sit there and eat some crow. Now, I was boasting about this all season long because I said it would be a point in the season that we would say the offensive line was the best unit on the team or one of the best units on the team. And for so far, I was not totally wrong. Well, damn, that crow drives a motherfucker, because that line was horrible. Horrible. They could not block nothing. Okay? Scorer looked like shit. The only one that looked good was Hernandez. Everybody else was doo-doo. Thomas was hurt. Excuse me, I'm still going. Thomas was hurt. And the rest of them looked like pure trash. That was the worst performance I've seen all season long. It made me sick. It was terrible. And then the defense. I have not pointed my fingers at Graham all season long. I have not. It even gets on my nerves sometimes how much either chosen one from the Bronx attacks him. God damn, that crow is motherfucking dry. Because he was horrible. Why the fuck did you got fucking Jabril Peppers on Cooper Kupp all game? Does that make sense?
Does
that make sense
to
me? That was fucking stupid. I never seen much stupidity in my life. Crowder, you are no Martinez. We are established that. And Danny Shelton, God bless your soul. You try. But you know Tomlinson. So, there's a whole lot of crow for me. It's very dry. Very dry. But I had to go ahead and eat that shit. Because the things that I have been saying, and the same way that I will come on here when I'm right and say, I told y'all so. Well, when I'm wrong, I'm going to do the same motherfucking thing, and I'm wrong on those motherfucking things. I was wrong. Offensive line is boo-boo, and motherfucking Graham, you are doo-doo. So get the fuck up out of here. That's my take on the game. L.A. fucked us up. We're on to Carolina. I believe we can beat them, but we'll go on next all the rest of the week with that. But, yeah, terrible, horrible job. That's my take on the game. You can bring on the caller. So y'all can chop it up. Y'all can go ahead and take on what I just said. I don't care, but we can move on, and then I can go ahead with the fantasy.
Yes, sir. I believe I checked in with the caller. There was no answer. I believe they're just chilling. I told them to push number one. Again, if you push number one, you go to the top of the list. I will unmute you, and we will get to know who you are. 914-205-5796. That's the number to call. Again, you can just listen to us talk. You can push number one. When you do that, you will be able to listen to this whole podcast because we only have 37 minutes of this live broadcast on the interweb able for you to listen to. You call that number, 914-205-5796. You can hear the extended version. If you do not, you can also check that online shortly after we are done here today. Shakes, fantasy. I don't know much about it. The way I play this year, it seems as if I have no idea how to do it. So, as a resident champion on this league, in most leagues, tell us your Shakes Fantasy Tuesday news and updates, scores, highlights, boom, bang, smack'ems. Who got beat? Who won? Who lost? Let us know, my friend.
Yeah, first of all, I'm a beast. Let me just point that out there. Let me just point it out there. I don't know why I'm so good, but I'm good. I'm just going to put that out there. Number two, I was on the roll here. A lot of leagues, I had like winning streaks going on. And C-Block from Brooklyn just spoiled my winning streak in the championship league. And I was on my way to being 500. And he just spoiled that. So shout outs to C-Block, boy from Brooklyn, who's not even active in the league, by the way. But shout outs to you anyway, right? Dominating in the division that I'm in. And yeah, I'm going to win that division, though. Don't worry about it. Be back. But
hold on.
Yep.
He's not active, and he still beat you?
Man, he's 5-1 or something. Dude is 5-1, bro. He's beating everybody. Beating everybody. You know, I don't feel embarrassed. I don't know what the fuck, man. And you know what it is? Listen, and I'm going to tell you exactly, and then we'll move on, right? I was up by 30-something, 35, something shit like that, all right? It seemed like that's the theme of the year for me, right? And I'm up 35, And this motherfucker had Derrick Henry, dude.
Again. Talk on it, Shake, please. Derrick
Henry, dude.
This man destroys, bro.
Derrick Henry
Yo,
and the quarterback who are killing him, fantasy, bro.
He ends career,
what?
B.
What?
He
bro,
ends fantasy career, bro.
100.
And he had Matthew Stafford, too. So my thing is, okay, this is why he's winning like that. All right, fine, great. But listen, I was winning, and this motherfucker gets like 50 from Derrick Henry. And I'm going to tell y'all, I cut the game on, right? I seen the run. As soon as he broke out and I knew nobody was going to catch him, I cut the fucking game off. Because that was the game. That was it. That's all he needed. And he won the game, bro. That's all he needed. That right there, bro. He was up by 1 point. I cut the game off. Terrible. All right?
He went on.
They end up putting a bang thing on me, and I'll get to that. But, pause. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Fuck you, Derrick Henry. Okay? Fuck you. All right.
You earned it. You earned that bang thing. You couldn't be perfect? Fuck that
yeah,
bullshit.
I know. And we'll get to that. All right? So we always start with the League One here. And it's always my matchups first because it's on my screen. You understand? All right? So as far as Week 6 is concerned, the Fantasy Elite put the bang thing, whoop smack. Mm-hmm. I told him I was going to be doing him like that. Pause. To LRP, my roommate this last weekend, Jamaican my shots. What was that? 202 to 108. Almost beat you by 100 points. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Horrible. Horrible. Bang, bang.
Damn.
Understand? Understand me?
What I got to do?
Hold him at the beginning of the year. This is what I'm going to be doing to him. No more rookie shit.
Whatever.
You understand
me? We'll see you again, son.
I hear you. I only call out my shots like Babe Ruth, baby. All right? Now, I go 3-3. I'm 500. All time, baby. Back in there, baby. I'm back in there. 500. Game back to first place. I'm in there, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to win this division. All right? And my boy LRP, he goes 0-6 all the way in the basement of the whole goddamn league. I mean, you just suck. That's why I beat you by almost 100 points, because you just horrible. We may need some new players and make a trade or something.
Get to the other league. Get to the other leagues, bro. You going to eat That language ain't going to continue.
Because
once we get to the other leagues, we'll see what it is.
Boy. Fuck is going on with you? All right?
Whatever. Move on.
And then we got Easy Now is Chosen, which is Easy Chosen One from the Bronx, putting the bang thing. Whoop smack. That's fucked up you did him like that. To Easy Does It in Washington, D.C., 187 to 127. Easy Chosen One from the Bronx goes 3-3. He is tied for first place in that South Division of League One. And I'll get to that. That's a tough division. They're going at it over there.
Got your ass back, Easy. You're just going to walk through me this year? Not at all, son. Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Easy Does It from D.C. He goes 3-3. He is also tied with Easy Chosen One from the Bronx, and it seems like everybody else in this damn division. So,
yeah.
Not seen.
Yeah.
Shout outs to them. All right. Still
be tied. Fuck up.
We got, oh, good one. All right. We got Every Day is Friday, too. Like Freezy, just squeaking it out against Big TV Meaty. We like Big TVs.
Yeah, Freezy.
I guess Black Freezy did too.
I'm going to pull him out.
Go ahead, Black Freezy. 181 to 177. Black Freezy goes to 3-3, as well as Big TV Meaty. They are all tied in first place. Vision. Going at it, battling. See y'all. Alright. We got Fresh James. James from New York. Just squeaking it out against Core Customs, 226-221. My God, y'all was scoring. My God. Glad I didn't play y'all. All right. We got James from New York going 4-2. He's tied for first place in that North Division. While Core Customs is also 4-2, tied for first place in the East Division. We got Giants for Life putting the bang thing whoop smack. I'm so glad he did them like that. The JR can't draft like me, Devontae. 207-151. J-Rock. He goes 4-2. He's tied with James from New York for first place in the North Division. While Devontae, he dropped to 4-2. Tied for first place with Core Customs in the East Division. All right. And last but not least, we got Rhodey putting a bang thing whoop smack. My God, Nacho, why he do you like that? The chub chasing Nacho in the box with cheese. 190-96. The 96? You scored 96? What the fuck? You need a sandwich or something. What the fuck is going on with you? Man.
96 in his league? That is a whoa.
That's it was horrible. You're horrible.
That's beyond bum level. That's beyond bum level.
What are you doing? Rhodey goes to 3-3. He is in second place of the North Division. While Chubb chasing Nacho in a box with cheese, drops to 2-4 in the basement of the East Division. Alright. As far as next week in the League One is concerned, we got the Fantasy Elite, which is me, going against Fresh James from New York. Good matchup there. Need this victory. We got Easy Does It in Washington, D.C. going against Big T.D. Comedy. Oh, we love Big T.D.
Yes, we do.
Good matchup here. We got Every Day is Friday 2 going against Easy Now is Chosen. That's Black Freezy going against E, the Chosen One from the Bronx.
I think I owe you one, Big Bro.
First place on the line.
Listen, all right, we got, keep it real. You do, but... We'll talk, because I see you got some bye week, brother, and so do I.
You got to make moves, man. You got to make moves.
Oh, that's you got more than me, though.
That's what the fantasy is all about. You got to do some things.
We'll talk.
We got the Blue Order, Core Customs, going against Giants for Life, J-Rock. We also got Devontae, JR can't drive like me, going against... We got Chubb chasing Nacho going against LRP Jamaican. My shot. One of y'all got to win, right? Like,
praise
one of y'all.
Lord, all your people. Oh, praise the Lord.
Him.
My bad.
League One is going to Nacho. Okay, no.
That is the shape.
My whole squad
League One.
Got bandages on them, bro.
Tell you, boy. It ain't too easy out here. It ain't too easy to be a champion. Alright, we on to League 2. League 2 here. And of course, my matchups first. Got the body snatches. Putting the bang thing whoop smack. Mm-hmm. Had the dorm like that, but it was fucked up. I shouldn't have. I really shouldn't have. I was fucked up. The Easy in D.C. 194-166. Man, I mean, shit, man, hey, it's a tough world out here. I go to 4-2, I'm tied for first place in the South Division, while Easy drops to 3-3. He's also tied for first place in the West Division, so it didn't hurt him. You all right, you good. Keep your head up. We got Damage Incorporated, KB, putting the bang thing whoop. Well, I ain't going to say that. He ain't put the bang thing. He just squeaked it out against DJ Judgment in Canada. 116-108. Damage Incorporated goes to 2-4. While DJ Judgment drops to 3-3. We got I Smoke Fools, Dan C in California, putting a bang thing, whoop smack. Hey, I don't care if you did them like that. Bristol Pirates all the way out in Europe, 192 to 180. I don't see him being active as well. I'm jotting down people that's active, so in the next season we gonna make some moves. So now I don't see him being active. So we'll decide some things later on them. But yeah, Dan C, 192 to 128. Dan C goes to 4-2. Bristol Pirates drops to 3-3, second place of the North Division with DJ Judgment, while Dan C is in first place of that North Division. All right, we got LRP putting the bang thing, whoop smack. That's fucked up. You did him like that because I don't even know who he is. The Chinese Judge.
Don't matter.
Win is
a win.
To 149. God damn it, man. We in a Royal Rumble in this motherfucking division, man. All right, LRP goes to 4-2. First place in this division.
Stick around and talk about that for a little while.
Nah, we ain't going to talk about it. Chinese Giants goes to 2-4 in the basement of the West Division.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We're going to talk about your successes. All right? We're going to move on. We got Every Day is Friday, 4, putting the bang thing, whoop smack. Man, that's fucked up. Yeah, do them like that. Regulators, mount up, 208 to 165.
Oh, I'll
Black
that
Beast,
ass.
Every Day is Friday,
Mike,
4,
ass,
goes to 4-2. He's tied with me and LRP for first place in that South Division. Battle Royale, man. While Regulators...
Three wins in a row. Hold on. I'm on a win streak, man. Three in a row, bro.
I see you. Oh, three-game winning streak. There, I see you, bro. All right. You're going down. You're going down. Regulators drops to 3-3. He's tied with Easy and DC for first place of the West Division. And last but not least, we got Headhunters J-Rock putting the bang thing, whoop smack. Dang, yo. Why you doing like that? To Rhodey, 163-137. Headhunters, J-Rock goes to 2-4. He's in the basement of that South Division, that Battle Royale. Hopefully he can come back. No. While Rhodey goes to 2-4, he's in the basement with Chinese Giants of the West Division. Bumming it up. I see. As far as next week goes, we got the Body Snatchers going against Rhodey. Hopefully I can keep on beating them up. Beating on a dead horse. All right, we got Damage Incorporated, KB, going against Bristol Pirates out in Europe. We got I Smoke Fools, Dan C, going against DJ Judgment in Canada. We got Chinese Giants, going against Every Day is Friday 4, Black Freezy. Regulators mound up, going against Headhunters and J-Rock. And we got Beat Easy, Easy in D.C. going against LRP. That is the Shakedown League 2. We on to League 3. Y'all want to chop it up about League 2 before I move on. I'd like to hear the song.
Yo, is Chinese Giants playing?
Nope, not active neither. And checking on that, right. On that as well.
I was about to fuck up and trade away my quarterback trying to be competitive. Fuck that. I'm finna win.
As far as the League One, I think I'm on a 2-game winning streak in League One, 2-game winning streak in League Two, and a 6-game winning streak in League Three, which I'm about to get to right now. League Three. Well, I'm just dominating things. Can't fuck with me. Understand what I'm saying? Trying to go for another chip out chill. I told y'all, I'm serious about this shit.
You gotta listen to your head.
I hear you, bro. I hear you. Because always my matchups first in League 3. We got the AFC West best, which is me. But the bang thing, whip smack. Yep. Told him I was going to do him like that too. Pause. To every day is Friday, Black Freezy. 203-153. God damn, boy, that's 50 points. What you what? Can't fuck with me, boy. Ish. I don't even know why
not
you even tried. I don't even know why you tried. All right? I go to 6-0. That's right. 6-0. Undefeated. Well, every day is Friday. Black Freezy. Drops to 2-4 with his bum ass. We got Rocks, J-Rock, putting the bang thing whip smack. Fucked up, you did him like that, yo. That you his idol, bro. You his idol. Why would you do him like that? To Nacho in the Box with Cheese, the Sunshine Jones. I hate that name, bro. I really do. 200-170. I don't know, bro. I don't know. He explained it too last week, and I was just like, man, you don't get that shit out of here, boy. But J-Rock, same thing on 200-170. J-Rock goes to 3-3. He's good for second place in the East Division of the League 3. While the Sunshine Jones drops to 1-5 in the basement of that East Division with his bum ass. All right. We got I Am the Chosen One. He's the Chosen One from the Bronx. Put the bang thing whoop smack. All right, that's cool you done him like that. To KB, knuckle up. 183-133.
Knuckle down, pussy.
All right. My man, he's the Chosen One from the Bronx. He goes 4-2. That's good and tied for first place in that South Division of League 3. I see you over there. While Knuckle Up, KB, drops to 0-6. The basement of the West Division. I don't think he playing no more. I don't think he playing no more, y'all. Alright. We got NJG Men. I'm going to say he just squeaked it out. Because you just been taking L's all over the place. I ain't even going, why are you out on this one right now, man? To my man, Jamaican My Shots, LRP. 152-142. NJG Man goes to 4-2. That's good for second place in that West Division. While Jamaican My Shots, LRP, drops to 1-5. He in the basement of the South Division. He just in the basements all over the place. Hey, tell mama, give me some sandwiches.
You're a whole sucker.
Yeah. I told you, this man that. Is hell. Hell.
Hey, mama, give me some sandwiches.
Hell. Like, yo, look, man.
You're going to hell for that. No, I was just doing good in the league.
Wait, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about this right here.
That's wrong, bro.
I told you, boy. Rookie season over. All right. We got Fresh James from New York putting the bang thing whip smack. I'm so glad he did him like that. I'm still mad at him for 2 years ago. Dumb City. 231-191.
You got to get over that. We don't even got the keepers anymore. Get over
I don't
that.
Care no more, son. He did me wrong. You don't do me like that, son. Paul.
Your hands ain't going got hurt.
I don't care, son. Do it look like I care? He did me wrong.
Sure.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, let that man live, bro.
Nah, man. Keep losing, Dumb City. Keep losing.
City.
I don't play that shit. I don't play that shit. James from New York.
Forever, man. Shut up, James.
James from New York go to 4-2. While Dumb City also drops to 4-2. He's tied for second place with New Jersey G-Men in the West Division, as well as James from New York. He's tied for, well, he's not even tied for second place. He's in second place in that South Division behind he chose one from the Bronx. Oh, absolutely. Excuse me. My fault. Correction. He's tied with either chose one from the Bronx in first place. My bad.
He's doing the same this year.
Yeah, he is. I see you, bro.
He's
in the winner's circle. I told you, I'm going to start winning. Understand me? All right. And we got last but not least.
What you in them circles, man?
Hey, look, man. I'm building a cult out here, all right? We got Roddy. putting the bang thing. Well, Smack, so glad he did him like that. The I Smoke Fools Dan C. 172 to 159. Roddy goes to, where you at, Roddy? He goes to 5-1 first place in that West Division. Wow. My boy Dan C, all the way out in Cali, drops to 2-4. He's in second place of the South Division. As far as next week is concerned, got AFC West Best going against Rocks. That's J-Rocks. J-Rock going down again, boy. Talking all that shit. Right now, series 3-1. Me. We got Every Day is Friday 3, Black Freezy, going against the Sunshine Jones and Nacho in the Box with Cheese. Got I Am the Chosen One from the Bronx going against NJG Men. We got LRP Jamaican My Shots going against Dumb City. Go ahead, win that shit, man, because I don't like that dude over there, man. Get me wrong. And we got James from New York going against Roddy. Battle in New York? Is that a battle in New York? Okay. And then we also got I Smoke Fools Dan C going against KB Knuckle Up. And that is the Shakedown League 3. We don't even got to go through the championship league. Y'all don't want to if we don't want to. I'm just playing. Going to the championship league now.
You know, you don't want to go through.
Exactly. Exactly, man. I was so happy and pumped, man. I was like, yes. Yes, man, I'm coming back, man. I'm about to be 500. And the fucking Derrick Henry broke the fuck out. Ain't this a bitch? All right. But always my matchups first, championship league. We got C Block, Corey from Brooklyn, putting the bang thing, whoop smack. Fucked up, he did me like that. Pause. 189 to 143 to the comeback kids. It's all right. I'm gonna come back. Got Best Eye, Buzz, C Block, Corey from Brooklyn. He's in first place at 5-1. Like I said, he's doing that to everybody though. All right, I ain't alone. I am not alone. While I drop to Lonely Basement at 2-4. Hey, Mama, give me sandwiches up there.
Mama, here, bomb.
Mama, give me sandwiches. That's all right. I'm tied with Dan the Man. That's all right. That's all right. I'm in there.
Dan the Man a bum this year, too. He a bum.
Yeah, yeah. Whole bum. And he can't even make no excuse like, oh, I didn't know. We were still playing, though. I seen you making moves. I seen you changing your lineups and everything. You active, bro. So I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear no excuses. No excuses this year, bro. All right? Speaking of Dan the Man, he put the bang thing, whoop, smack. That's fucked up he did him like that. No, not really. I'm glad he did it. Nothing personal. It's just business. Only one can be chosen. Either chose one from the Bronx. 239 to 174. Danny Man goes to 2-4. Tied with me for the basement. Mama, give me some sandwiches up there. While only one can be chosen, either chose one from the Bronx, dropped to 3-3. He's good for second place of that East Division. All right, we got, ooh, yo, Black Freezy, was funny as shit last week for this shit. He's like, man, I don't give a fuck what happened as long as this motherfucker ain't beat me. Then this week, I said, J-Rock, you better not lose to this motherfucker. You better not lose. And J-Rock said, fuck that. He ain't doing that shit to me neither. LRP is the only one that got creamed on his chub because J-Rock put the bang thing. Whoop smack. Had to do him like that to Kareem on your chub. And what was it? Chill Will in Ohio. 204 to 161. He put the bang thing on him too. Said, nah, I ain't going out like that, son. They don't catch me slipping, son. Nah, B.
Well, that chub hurt now, boy. What you gonna do?
Yeah, boy. Ain't the same no more.
Can't Kareem on a damn thing.
Kareem on his damn self. About that life, J-Rock goes to 4-2. That's good for first place, tie for first place in that South Division. Wow, Chill Will goes, drops to 4-2. He's also tied for first place in the West Division. All right. That's fucked up. Nah, it ain't. I'm glad you ain't Kareem doing your chub, bro. You my friend. You my friend. We got every day is Friday, Black Freezy putting the bang thing whoop smack. Glad he did him like that as well. To give me that Dan C all the way out in Cali.
Oh, I know you broke, but I had to bust that ass, man.
152.
Yeah.
Put the 200 burger on him. You want to score 200 to beat me, son? I think he's going 200 to beat me.
See what we're doing out here.
Mm-hmm. Black Freezy goes to 4-2, tied for first place in that South Division, along with J-Rock. Another person I'll name in a minute. Wow, give me that Dan C. Drops to 2-4 in the basement with LRP. There's some sandwiches up there, mama. All right. We got Jamaican My Shots putting the bang thing whoop smack. Man, listen, he ain't even active, so I ain't surprised you did him like that. To the dawn. To the dawn. 126 to 96. It's about damn time. Jamaican My Shots, LRP. Goes to 2-4. He's in the basement with Dan C.
That's two in a row, bro. That's two in a row. Don't leave out these stats, bro. That's two in a row.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to leave it out, you know what I mean?
He won two straight. He won two straight. I would have won three straight for him for fucking Derrick Henry. All right? Anyway.
I ain't talking about you.
Hey, look,
man. That
wasn't always about me. I'm a champion.
Oh.
I'm a champion. All right? The Dawn drops to 0-6 in the basement of the whole league. Like I said, boy ain't even active. He's not even there. All right, and last but not least, we got Rhodey putting the bang thing whoop smack. I don't care, he did him like that. The FU pay me 190 to 141. Rhodey goes to 4-2, tied with Chill Will for first place in that West Division. While FU pay me drops to 4-2, tied with Black Freezy and J-Rock for first place in that South Division. All right. As far as next week is concerned, we got the Comeback Kids going against Only One Can Be Chosen. Ooh, good matchup there. Uh-oh. We got Dan the Man in Delaware going against C-Block Coy from Brooklyn. I think I'm going to be rooting for Dan the Man for the first time ever. We got J-Rock About That Life going against Dan C. and Cali. Uh-oh. Some good matchups here this week. We got Black Freezy going against Jamaican My Shots and LRP. We got The Dawn going against Rhodey. And we got F.U. Pay Me going against Chilwell. Uh-oh. Might be another victim. It might be another victim. But that is it. That is the Shakedown Fantasy League. Scores, results, standings, upcoming matchups, shit like that. I'm ready to take another two chips out these leagues because I'm that damn good. Shout out to me.
Yep. And like the great Lotto from 8 Mile said, enough of that hibbity hoobla, and on to some NFL. NFL Week 7 coming up. We have some matchups I want to just get a quick feeler for, but running through everyone, let's see whose background might be giving me some feedback here. Let's see here. So, let's see. Got them out. All right. We'll start with Thursday Night Football. I am sorry. Somebody, can you guys, somebody's got a feedback. Is it me? Am I the only one that hears that? Or?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. Yep, we got it. We're good. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't just me. If it was just me, I had to fix my mic. But all right, here we go. Thursday Night Football, Denver Broncos traveling to Cleveland. Cleveland getting 3 points. And a game in a couple days here on Thursday night. Starting with the Sunday morning games, Cincinnati Bengals getting 6 points on the road against Baltimore. Carolina Panthers getting 3 points on the road against the New York Giants. Washington football team getting 9.5 points on the road to the Green Bay Packers. Kansas City Chiefs the Tennessee Titans getting 5.5 at home against the Kansas City Chiefs. The Miami Dolphins getting 2.5 points here, taking on the Atlanta Falcons at home. The New York Jets on the road against the New England Patriots getting 7 points. Here are the crazy spreads for you. Los Angeles Rams at home taking on the Detroit Lions, 15.5 for the Detroit Lions. They're getting there. Philly. Plus 3 against going up against Las Vegas in Las Vegas Raiders. Another big spread here. Chicago getting 12.5 visiting Tampa Bay in the defending Super Bowl champions Sunday afternoon game. Another big spread here. Houston visiting Arizona. Houston getting 17.5 in another Sunday afternoon game. Sunday night football matchup sees Carson Wentz traveling cross country to San Francisco 49ers. And, of course, the Colts are getting 3.5. Monday Night Football, New Orleans Saints. Sorry about that. New Orleans Saints, they're getting – or, sorry, the Seattle Seahawks at home hosting New Orleans Saints. Seattle getting 5.5 there. We will ignore your game, the Panthers and the Giants, because Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you will do much a talking about that game. Any other games that pique any of your interest, we have about a minute here. We're going to get just a little bit of this discussion. It doesn't have to go too far into it. Then we'll get some closing statements and see what everyone's feeling after that. But anything that just, pops off the page for you spread wise, any teams getting disrespected maybe, or is there anything that you just see that goes, wow, I can't wait to see this matchup. Who's going to either get right, who's not going to get right. Could we see another AFC championship preview? Considering I think we have a AFC championship matchup here in Kansas City and Tennessee. I think that was a game a year or two ago. So this is going to be interesting. Anything that piques your interest, we'll start here. Either Chosen One, haven't heard from you in a while. Anything Week 7 going in, not Giants related, piquing your interest, you think got some upset alerts going on, maybe we'll talk about later. E, any thoughts on Week 7? All righty, so we're going to move on. Silence is golden, like I always say with me. It looks like, sorry, someone got muted for no reason. Oh, that's who that was. All righty. we'll just go ahead and move on there. Sorry about that. Any games, LRP, that you think might pique your interest, get you kind of, you know, going again? Your Arizona team looks like they have a layup coming into town in Houston, so I don't think that would probably interest you other than just watching the guys that you enjoy watching. But any games, AFC, NFC, that you know, hey, man, I'm just we're all football fans. Anything you're ready to watch?
The Jets coming back from their bye. Be curious to see how they play. Michael Arthur, some more reps. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You get to see Mac Jones against that defense and how they do, and maybe see Zach Wilson play a little. It's the second meeting between these two teams, right? He already played New England?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, yeah. I'm trying to think of the rookie quarterback he just played. That's why I'm kind of thrown off there. But anyways, yeah, Mac Jones going up there to, you know, try to see what he can do. But, man, it's going to be that's a matchup. Two teams that, you know, really aren't probably going to have the records to show how good they are or good they're going to be here in the future. But I think that's a good matchup, too. You know, you look at New England, I think they've got a – I think all their losses are a total of 7 points, 7 point differential added up. So it's not very much. They're not losing by lots. It's you know, those little bits there. Mac Jones got our head on his shoulders. Zach Wilson out there again. The flashes are getting more consistent. So, yeah, I'm definitely intrigued with that game. Dan C., I know you're in and out. You're kind of short. Oh, Black Friday, we got you back here. Anything that piques your interest, anything that really, you know, you want to see, again, not too much into the Giants because we're going to have three full days talking about your Giants and Panthers game.
All right, you hear me?
Yes, sir, loud and clear.
All right, cool. Cause you a little choppy, bro, from my end. I don't know. But, Thursday night is going to be cool. I want to see how the Browns bounce back, what their roster looks like, you know, the depth chart, who comes back. The Broncos are rolling right now with Teddy Two Gloves, you know what I'm saying? I'm interested, you know, to see tomorrow's game. I would say, yeah, the Jets and the Patriots, that's another game that I'm interested to see because, you know, my son Matt Rowland, even though Dallas closed it out late with my son. You know what I mean? My son, thrown to my son. It's ridiculous. They're just not on my team. It's ridiculous. But, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see my son versus my nephew over there, LRP's son, to see, you know, how this division will be shaping out for years to come. I think that's about it, man. Everything else about regular. Outside of the Chiefs and the Titans, I want to see, you know what I'm saying, my son stop playing around. Mm-hmm.
You went low there. There you go. I think that's what I thought was going on there. sorry, give me 1 second here. There it is. What I think about this week, it's going to be some great games again. You got the Titans, Chiefs. There's a lot to really be said about week 7 in the NFL, especially when you have teams really trying to you know, take strangleholds and either get right back on track or you know, like I said, take strangleholds of the division and keep moving forward. Again, the Rams are going to be a game that I'm interested to see just because the Dan Campbell aspect, I want to see how that goes. Obviously, that's a game there. And then, of course, can the Bucs stay right? That Bears defense, it is what it is. But can the Bucs keep I don't want to say keep pace defensively, but Justin Fields is a wild card. We don't know about him. It's going to be interesting to see how he can fare against that defense. But, of course, Tom Brady, this is a defense that they can rush forward. They can get to him. I'm really interested to see how he attacks that secondary. So that game, even though the spread's 12.5, that's a trap game for sure. And then, of course, Monday Night Football. House crab legs,
yeah,
house
I don't
Seahawks.
That sound crazy.
When I talk, I feel like now we're good.
Yeah. All right, that's what
I was
doing. Yeah,
no, you're good now. But when I was talking, I could hear like a echo feedback.
I got the buzzing in these headphones, man. They got some buzzing. I don't know nothing about cousin. Some buzzing. But yeah.
You're good now.
Yeah. I forgot about my son and them over there. I didn't see that game because I didn't scroll down all the way. I want to see. I want to see how my son, you know, responds. You know what I'm saying? This is team now. You know what I mean? You need to go out there and put forth the effort and throw some other son, man, Robinson. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on with that. They need to get, you know, connected. But he seemed like he prefers running. And it is. The offensive line is bad too, by the way.
I think the biggest game, okay, I said a lot, but the biggest game for me is I think it's the changing of the guard. And it's two different quarterbacks now. It's the same, I think, regimes and it's the same, different head coach in one, the same in the other. It's the Cincinnati and the Ravens game. This is Joe Burrow making a statement game. We're back. We're a force to be reckoned with in the AFC North. The Ravens, they need to make statement games every week. They're not going to get slack any week this year. Every game needs to be a statement game for them. You know, it's wild. They're going to win a game where Lamar rushes for 200 and throws for 160, and he's going to get killed. And then they're going to win a game where he, you know, throws for 400 and he doesn't rush for a lot, and they're going to get killed. So the Ravens have the world against them, it seems like, and there's no reason for it. I don't get it. I know the playoff woes are there, but it's just outside of that, this is the regular season. It shouldn't be that way. But Cincinnati, Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, what can they do to that Ravens defense that, you know, isn't really, I wouldn't say isn't the best, but it's not top-notch like we've seen over the past years. And they're relying heavy on that offense. Man, I'm excited. That game right there, AFC, non-AFC, non-NFC, and AFC game, my, that's going to keep me perked and watching that game right there. And, again, getting a close-up view of Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, that shit was, as someone who was a fan of the Packers watching them play, it wasn't fun. But I can tell now, Bengals fans are having fun every week watching their quarterback and their wide receiver play catch against the best people in the league and winning a lot of the time. So that's a game that I'm really interested in seeing. That's my game of the week for me that I'm going to be peaking real big interest in, because if Joe Burrow can shock Baltimore and shock most of the world, not all of it, but most of it, because I think there's a lot of people on the Joe Burrow choo-choo train, it's just it's going to be real. That's the game for me. Anything before we get these closing statements, before we move on up out of here, close this Nacho Average Tuesday with my man Shakes Montana and the rest of these boys, Ian Black and Dan C and LRP. Anything that, you know, you want to get off your chest, say anything. We did discuss a lot of this refereeing. You know, I like to say the phrase, if you gonna cry, what the baby gonna do? I took it from a good friend of mine. At the end of the day, that means if you just whine and cry, which we're doing about officiating because that's all we could really do, you know, is there any kind of solution that you think could be helpful for these refs? Again, I don't know what it is, and it's something that's just – it's just a weird thing to have in a league that we, you know, we're really, really hard on players taking center stage. When a player takes center stage, it's so bad. Because it's such a team sport. but we let these referees take center stage every week, every game. But other than that, anything else anybody wants to talk about, get off their chest before we get these closing statements going?
Yeah, man. An excellent start to the NBA season. This is a great game I'm watching here. Two powerhouse juggernaut teams in the East going at it. Milwaukee been fucking us up the whole game, but I'm not really worried. You know, I'm not really worried. We all right. Wish Kyrie was out there because it wouldn't be like this. But, yeah, that's something else we will talk about throughout the week. But I will take this time to say the Shakedown NBA Fantasy, I guess you can call it that, Shakedown Fantasy Basketball League draft start Saturday. So if you're trying to get in the league, hit me up on Twitter at ShakesNYG, or you can email me Shake 21-1984@gmail.com. Yeah. And you can hit me up and I'll let you know and get you up in that league. I got like 4 spots left. Well, no, actually 3 spots left. Yeah. So, y'all better hurry up. They're going, man. Shout out to E, the Chosen One from the Bronx. He is the reigning champion. So, he will be defending his crown this year. So for y'all to try to take him off his throne, come join this league, and we can get it on all season long. Season is definitely here. It should be a different season than last year. I was definitely disinterested some point in the season last year, but I'm definitely going to be involved and invested this year all the way, hopefully. But, yeah, can't wait.
Yes, it's going to be the NBA. We're going to get definitely into that. I wanted a week of NBA games to go by, so next week we'll definitely have a lot to talk about NBA-wise on Nacho Average Tuesday. I think, to me, the NBA situation will be as such with the coming back of fans. There are players that I believe took days off last year. I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think those players do that. I think the added element of having real fans back there to see you play, I think it was a year that a lot of players felt it's excusable to take these days off because we're not letting really, quote unquote, anyone down paying a price to come see us. That I think that's a real big thing on a lot of these players' minds. They don't like taking those days off, especially for hardworking paying fans, so they can be hardworking at their job. It's just, I think that's going to make a big change for a lot of players. I'm not saying they're not going to take any days off. I think the amount is substantially small. I think it's something that I will be on a lot of the ESPNs and the NBA TV. A lot of that will be talked about as how little guys are taking off this year. I think that's going to be a main discussing point. You are right. That is a great game. Of course, the beginning of one season, the middle of another season approaching in the NFL, and the ending of a third, this is like the – some say it's the best time of year. I think it kind of is too. October baseball – Boston having a 2-1 series lead, up 2-1 in the game in the bottom of the third on FS1. Dodgers roaring back from a 5-2 deficit, now at the top of the ninth, leading 6-5. Dodgers losing that series 2-0. That series has been walk-off to walk-off. That's going to be a fun series if you like baseball. If you don't and you just like playoff sports, again, I am all about football. We all know football reigns supreme, but I don't know if there's any two words in the world of sports that are better than Game 7. So the way that this Dodgers-Braves is going, that's what we might see. If Astros can come back, tie this thing back up, that'll be cool to see too. So ALCS, ALCS, NLCS in full swing. October baseball again. I could care less about 100 of those games, but October baseball is what we're talking about. NBA, again, in full swing. Lakers, Warriors, right up after. shakes Nets to take on the Bucks. So if you're on the West Coast like myself and Dan C, who just checked out, we will probably check out that game. Like I always say, anytime an L.A. team loses, I feel ecstatic. So I will be a Steph Curry fan for the night. We will start this off, LRP, my good friend. Anything you would like to say as your closing statement? Again, thank you so much, Nacho Average Tuesdays, for coming on and giving us your opinion. Sometimes as much as I know you don't want to, because it feels like you're just saying the same thing over and over again.
Man, shout out to the people. Thanks for tuning in. Keep tuning in. Keep supporting. Man, I ain't got nothing. Hope everybody have a good night. Excellent show. Great topics. And I did say I don't have nothing. I have one thing. I can't no longer talk about this Giant football team until the Giants talk about the Giants. There's been nothing. It's Tuesday, and there's been nothing other than just beat writers speculating. But nobody's talking other than Joe Judge saying the same thing. Until the Giants start talking about the Giants, I don't know what else I can say. I mean, the proof is right there. You know, it's right there every week. If you decide to do nothing about it, if you try to hide in your offices and don't make yourself available for interviews or press conferences to talk about the state of the union, I mean, yo, the state of the union is bad. And for y'all and for those dudes not to say nothing, walk past, no comment, you know, that's unsatisfactory. So, you know, I'll continue to, you know, talk about the players and, you know, matchups and what we can do to win, just kind of third. But until they make some changes, bro, I mean, swift, immediate, you know, trash bag on your head. But peace and love, y'all. Be safe. LRP, I'm out.
Peace and love, LRP. Hopefully there's no problems in Houston tonight and they can get the victory. I don't know who to pull in that one, because you got the cheaters in Houston and then you got the old cheater that wasn't Houston now in Boston. So I don't know. Either way, I hope they all beat L.A. E, the chosen one, my good friend, sir, are you with us to give us a closing statement?
Yes, I is.
Perfect.
And game is pretty good. The Nets are making it, you know, a game, but the Milwaukee Bucks have come out to play they have come out to play basketball, and they're just looking like exactly how they left off. They're in sync. They're making shots. Antetokounmpo is still the best player in the world right now until he gets knocked off that pedestal. You can talk about talent. You can talk about gifts. You can talk about whatever. But when it comes to the NBA, it's about rings and things. And right now, on his ceremonial night of his ring ceremony with the rest of his teammates, he is showing the world that I am still the player from coming off a 50-point game 7 and letting it be known I'm here to stay. And when you talk, you better mention me in the conversation and wipe your feet before you step in my house. So besides that, we get to see real basketball after this, when my Lakers, when my Lakers take the floor with the great LeBron James and the great Russell Westbrook, you understand, and the great Carmelo Anthony and all the rest of the supporting cast, we can see what it's hitting for. And for all y'all Golden State thirst buckets, welcome back to the NBA, Klay Thompson and your team, and hopefully y'all can come out and have a good show. And it could be a great game and an opening night for the NBA. We can all be excited and enjoy the festivities. But let the old men quillages, all of them, the old men quillages, come out on top so I could talk my talk. You know what I mean? And that's about it, man. Ain't nothing to talk about with football.
Yo,
what's up, brother?
I'm sorry to cut you off. But I got a stock tip, right? Somebody told me to put some shares into Ben Gay, because after the Lakers play, they all gonna need it. Old man Quillis is all over the place. So shout out to Ben Gay. Go ahead, put your shares in, y'all. Just saying.
Hey, and to that point, man, I don't know what the Lakers going to do without no bench. They don't have no bench. I think it's a false prophet.
Yeah. You about to see the game in less than an hour, bro.
We'll see that, and we'll get into that probably tomorrow. I'm sure the gentleman will want to talk about it. Edith Chosen One, again, thank you so much for everything you bring to everything we talk about. I love it and enjoy it all. Love you, brother. Thank you. I am ecstatic, though, that Queen LeBron did have his full off season, so now we won't hear any complaining until midseason when he has to take those breaks. The Black Friday, my friend, my companion, the brother from another mother that I wish was my real brother. No offense to anybody else on this line. Closing statement. How you doing, my son? I was gonna say my son, but my best friend who picks.
Like that. It's all good, brother.
The point is, you pick a lot of the same gentlemen as sons that I would pick. That's what I was going at. But you are the myth, the legend. Go ahead, Black.
Son, you call me son too, because you know what I mean. You sound like one. But yeah, great show. Not your in the box. Not your average show. Not your average Tuesday. Stop playing around. Debate Wednesday tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Hopefully I have a voice all the way. You know what I mean? And we out here. I'm going to say it like this. I will be watching the NBA this season for real, for real. You know what I'm saying? Them Knicks looking good, boy. And I believe we going to the motherfucking playoffs. How about that? Strong.
Oh,
Black
yes.
Cleveland
again.
Mouth.
Oh, sorry, Black. Again, the next Tuesday, we're going to talk about all these games. We're going to go over the over-unders before the season started and how we think some of these teams look after week one. I definitely want to get into some NBA talk. Again, if they have a picture on side of what a bandwagon fan would look like, and those are, again, so we're clear, bandwagon fans are the fans who they never change allegiances. They only show up when the team's winning. Yeah, that's me right on the side of the Phoenix Suns. I'm only there when they're winning. They're winning now, so we're going to watch them all season. We're going to talk about how everything's going. And if you don't believe me that they're winning, ask Lakers and Clippers fans if they're winning. So you can ask Joker, too, because I think he took them out last year as well. The man who helps me every Tuesday do the thing that I love to do, he helped me get on here, Shakes Montana, my friend. Your fantasy Tuesdays are just, they're taking off. I can't wait to hear next week when I lose all my games and you tell me how bad I am. You, sir, have the floor. Do your thing.
All right. Great show. I will say that first, of course. We always say that. Best I learned. I understand. I do understand the pain that the Giants fans are feeling. It hurts. It hurts to deal with this shit every goddamn year. What? I guess I'm insane in the motherfucking man. Because I'm still going to be saying the same shit this week as well. So we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about it. We got Debate Wednesdays tomorrow with Black Freezy. I mean, and I'm pretty sure he got a lot of things he want to chop it up about, a lot of vitriol, a lot of things he wants to spill on. And we're going to talk on that, and we're going to touch on that. We're going to touch on this NBA games and all that good shit, NBA fantasy. Shakedown Basketball Fantasy League, again, definitely join it. Got 3 spots left. Either Chosen One from the Bronx is the champ. He's looking to go back-to-back. And I'm trying to play spoiler. Understand? But we'll get to that. We got the draft coming up this week. That is Saturday. Y'all check all that. Whoever is in the league already, y'all check on that. Check your league and all that. Set your lineups if you, or everything, whatever, for the draft. Do what you got to do. And make sure that you are ready and prepared to go ahead and get this work this year. I don't want to hear no shit. No excuses, goddammit. None. So can't wait till tomorrow. Debate Wednesday's Black Freezy. That's about it. Oh, yeah. Man, the last OG coming out with the new season, man. So just for people that didn't know, that will be coming back out. It's a great show. You have to check it out if you did. That's about it, man. Great show. Once again, I'll at y'all tomorrow. Nacho Average Tuesdays. Good shit, Nacho. I'm out.
Thank you. Thank you again. The Shakedown Crew, my fellas, Shakes Montana, Black Freezy, Either Chosen One, LRP. J-Rock, he came in. He left before we got to these closing statements. Dan C, you left as well. The caller that came in, I never got to talk to you. You stayed on mute. Thank you. That's what you want. That's what we want. You don't want to talk? You can sit here and share and listen, too. Sometimes it's easier to kick back with the speaker on your phone. You don't got to worry about the internet shutting down. You just listen to us, shoot our shit, and talk our stuff. Because I know some people just want to hear us. So, again, if you're listening to this later in the day, today, maybe tomorrow, call in on Debate Wednesday. Call in on LRP Thursday. Call in on Either Chosen One Friday. 914-205-5796. Let us share your voice or just listen like the caller did today. Do whatever, man. I love each and every one of you. This is, again, dream come true. It is so fun. Everything about this is everything and more. We may end up switching some things around. I'll have to see. Got to get in contact with work again. Some things are in the works. And then, of course, as myself, I know I don't hear any of my catchphrases in that opening intro. I set the works in motion. We'll try to see if I can get myself onto that intro. If not, maybe I'll just talk over all everybody else. I don't know. It's not your average Tuesday. I do whatever I want. So, again. Yes, sir. LRP as well, yes. We want to get everybody up in there so that we can all do our thing. Man, thank you again for listening to me say what I want to say and me pretending that I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Thank you. Shakes, take us away, my friend.
Absolutely. Before I do so, though, I guess I'm going to try to do this all week. So just bear with me, y'all. This was a big milestone in my life for us to take care of the business that we took care of this weekend. And I'm glad I done it and did it with my brothers. And each day that y'all do, I'm going to go ahead and dedicate my closing to y'all. And so today is Nacho's day, and I'm going to say, even though you wasn't there, man, you've been there since day one when we started doing morning shows, and you was there helping me with the morning shows, and we was with the cracks and all that in our voices, you were still holding it down with me, and I never forgot that, and I always remembered and cherished that. And that's why I always wanted to throw you onto the team. And so I'm so glad that you are officially with us and you are on the papers that we are all on. So it is definitely official. We are all business partners, and I'm so glad to be able to call you my business partner and friend. So with that being said, like I always say around this time, I don't expect y'all agree with us, but I damn sure expect y'all understand. Understand? Don't get shook up because we keep shit live. It's the Shakedown rep with New York Giants on that drive for five. I'm out of there. Takes away Nacho in the box with cheese.
Yeah, you just got shook by the Shakedown. Man, I love you. Thank you. Y'all have a great night.
Love you too, bro. Good night.